So in chapter 4, it talks about all the practical work of the Levites, the workers. So in the four chapters, you have three major divisions. You have chapter 1 and 2 that talks about the warrior, the warfare. You have chapter 3 that talks about the sons of Aaron, the worshipper. You have chapter 4 that talks about the Levites who help Aaron and assist him in the ministry of helps, the worker. So we have the three major emphases of what the spirit of prayer would do to a person. The spirit of prayer would involve three aspects. Prayer is not just asking from God something. The spirit of prayer is more powerful than that. The spirit of prayer involves, number one, warfare. The spirit of prayer involves, number two, worship. That's chapter 3. And the spirit of prayer involves, number 4, working out. So we can understand, whenever we run out of the spirit of prayer, or the spirit of prayer grows weak in our life, it will affect your capability for spiritual warfare. No prayer, no victory. If the spirit of prayer ever is affected, and if your church, your fellowship loses the spirit of prayer and gets more conscious of activity, you will begin to lose the ability to worship God. You have a lot of religious rituals, but lose the ability to truly worship God. If the spirit of prayer ebbs low in your church, you will lose the ability to truly do a great work for God. See, we must balance those things. And being a practical person, we realize that we have to organize things. We have to plan things. Remember, all this must be balanced through the spirit of prayer. We must not lose the spirit of prayer. The moment it's lost, all we have left is the programs and the activities. We cannot plan a revival. We can only plan a meeting. A revival has to come straight from the throne of God. Let's look over in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And notice how that is talking not only about prayer, but the spirit of prayer. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 12 and 13 it says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." See, our warfare is not with flesh and blood. It's not against a person. It's not against an organization. Our warfare in the spirit is in the spiritual places, fighting demon forces. And those must be done through prayer. It says, put on the whole armor of God. And it says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer. It tells us to pray in the depths of the Spirit. Then in John chapter 4, let's look over the Gospel of John chapter 4. Jesus Christ, as He spoke to the woman at the well, says in verse 22, 23, "You worship that you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, and the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." My friends, we have to worship the Father in the spirit. In other words, we must enter the realm of the spirit. It is always through the realm of prayer that we move into the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is available for us. It comes first through prayer. Prayer maintains you in the spirit realm. Even though you are physically on this earth, yet spiritually, if you do not lose the spirit of prayer, you are in the heavenly places. Only the spirit of prayer can keep you there, where you are continually worshipping God, in your heart, in your mind, continually praising and worshipping God. Only that spirit of God can bring us into that realm. It's in the spirit. So, prayer involves worship too. Finally, in the book of Philippians, let's look at the book of Philippians. And verse 25, Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need." Now notice what he called Epaphroditus. Two things. He was a fellow worker, like the Levites, and he was a fellow soldier, like the other tribes of Israel. Epaphroditus to the ministry of God. Now of course, he was definitely a worshipper of God privately. That's him and God. But Paul, in his relationship with him, says he's a fellow soldier, implying that Paul was a soldier too. But Paul was not a soldier, he was an apostle. See, sometimes when people read the Bible and say, fellow worker, you know, they have impression of how Epaphroditus used to dig ditches. He's working very hard in the hot sun, or sweeping the floor, or doing all the physical things. Of course, all those things have its place in the ministry of helps. If somebody doesn't do it, then nobody does it. So they have a place and a place and a time to do those things. And we don't bypass those areas. Those things we need to learn to do also. We need to be humble enough to do all those things. But he's talking more than that. Whenever he says fellow worker, fellow soldier, he points back to the spirit realm, where Epaphroditus was in the spirit doing warfare with Paul, and working out those things in the spirit with him. More proof of that is found in the book of Colossians. Let's look over the book Colossians. See, we are tying all these Old Testament scriptures to the New, so that the next time you read them, you will know what other truths to gather from there. We are just outlining some spiritual truths that you could possibly gain from those areas. In the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, same guy, Epaphras, Epaphroditus, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring. The word laboring means working fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. I tell you, we need more workers like that. But the majority of churches only see working as something in an office atmosphere. They neglect to understand that the working behind the closet, working on the knees, is as much essentially as a work as it is in the natural. And so what we have in the beginning of the setting out the ministry, we have an intercessor who we employ to just get on the knees 8 hours a day. That is a very hard job description to put on paper. A person shows up in the office and science checks in, and then straight away goes to a tiny little corner that we call the gap. And he goes, takes a short lunch break, sometimes he fasts, and then checks out after office. People say, "Hey, you go to office?" "Yes." "What do you do?" "Working." But his primary purpose and task, and he has grown, and today he has set up his own ministry in our church, and he has moved further into the things, and we have even more other intercessors who have signed up. And we have people constantly working in the Spirit. And we consider that an organized activity as much as we organize the church and organize all the physical logistics of an organization. But a lot of Christians never see it that way. They take for granted, you know, yeah, we need to pray, and they pray 15 minutes. Yeah, we need intercessors, you know, and they just get intercessors. But they never see it as something that should be planned. And they are more systematic in the natural than they are in the spiritual. And that's one reason they don't achieve that much in the spirit. Because they are not pressing in an organized way.
We need organized prayer. We need to get on our knees before God. And Epaphroditus was those intercessors. If you're in the ministry here, I would say you need to get people to sign up as intercessors. If you have people who could give themselves 8 hours a day, full-time intercessor, well and good. If you cannot divide it up to different people who could be part-time involved in the intercessors. The key success of any church and any ministry is the continual prayer that goes behind. It's not just the fantastic organization that you see when you go into the church and or office and you see a reception and you see all those well-planned, organized programs. But behind it, the spiritual success depends on those intercessors. Those three areas that go on in the book of Numbers chapter 1 to chapter 4. The spirit of prayer and what will happen. So you will know whether you have the spirit of prayer or not. If you notice whether you're constantly worshipping, you're doing spiritual warfare, and you're working out what you conceive. Every time you have an idea from God, work it out in the spirit first before you work it out in the natural. In other words, pray all the way through. An idea in itself minus prayer is worthless. An idea from God must be worked out entirely in the spirit. You have to let your spirit lock into this idea, get into deep intercession and pray and work it through in the spirit. By the time you work it through in the spirit, you will know exactly how to go about it in the natural. Too many ideas are aborted early without going through its normal pregnancy period. A lot of abortion is taking place in the spirit. God impregnates His people with ideas. But a lot of those ideas are aborted. What people need to realize is those ideas need to be taken and constantly brought before God and work out through the pregnancy period. What do you do in pregnancy period? You got to watch your diet, take care of yourself, take more nutrition. And sometimes you go to great discomfort, you ask any lady who has born a child, great discomfort, and all the things they go through, same way with an idea. You may have to take time off your golf, take time off your normal time that you do things. You got to adjust your schedule in order to conceive those ideas with the spirit of prayer. That's the book of Numbers 1 to 4. Then he moves on in chapter 5. Chapter 5, right on, to chapter 8. Chapter 5 to chapter 8 is the middle portion of the first section. Chapter 5 to chapter 8 talks about righteousness and separation. In chapter 5, notice that it talks about general separation. How the people must have purity from verse 1 to verse 6. It tells them that they must not... remember, anything physically for them becomes a spiritual representation for us. So physically, they were not to dirty the camp. And they were to be pure. And verse 5 to verse 10, they were to be honest. That's chapter 5. And verse 11, right on towards the ending, it tells us that they must speak only truth. Those are representations for us. Chapter 5 talks about separation. What does separation involve? Separation involves honesty. It involves purity. It involves truth. Without truth, there is no separation. We look into that. Let's just outline all the various chapters that we're going through. In chapter 6, it talks about individual separation. Individual separation. The law of the Nazarite. So there is what I call a general separation for everybody and a special separation called the law of the Nazarites. Then in chapter 7, there is the special offerings from the leaders, all the same offerings but separate individuals. And then chapter 8, there was the special cleansing of the lepers. Those who are lepers. And so, in these four chapters, 5, 6, 7, 8, we see the separation involved and the specialness. So let's focus on this area here, on the separation and specialness.